I'm going to start off by saying some things, folks, and the things that I'm going to say today is really what the Lord has been laying on my heart. And I've been, you know, like every last Thursday, we say, Lord, this is a Holy Spirit meeting. But really, every meeting belongs to the Lord, every single one. But I've been praying, Lord, for God to have his way, you know, on Sundays as well. Today, it's not a full-fledged teaching at all. Today, I'm just going to go with the flow of what the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart. Now, a few things that I want to say to you is number one, whatever comes out of my mouth today, okay, and if you feel that any part of it, any aspect of it is applicable to you, you have a responsibility to make sure that you're not ignoring that, but that you are taking and grasping every word that the Holy Spirit will speak into your own heart, because you need it. And the Holy Spirit, God, wants to further you. He wants to use you. But before that can happen, a number of things need to happen. And that's what I'm going to go through as the Lord leads today. But today, I'm telling you from now, if you yield to the Holy Spirit and follow what He is saying He's going to do, that you will begin to see marked differences in your life. I'm going to say some things, okay, and the things that I'm going to say may come across a little harsh. It's not meant to be, and it's not. It's just the truth of God's word. And I'm not afraid to preach that, because the Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And we all want to be free. Isn't that right? Okay, so if I'm going to be one of these leaders or pastors or teachers that are a coward, oh, I can't say this because this person might think that, then I'm not helping you. All right? I'm not helping you at all. So, first thing I'm going to say is this, that God loves you with an unconditional love. Okay? Please grasp that. We live in a world where... All right, let me ask you this question. How many people, especially in this past week, has felt like the warfare is intensifying? You know, I've sensed it, I've felt it. I can walk into a place and just feel it. I can, on the street, I can sense it. My spirit is very alert to these things. And so what I believe God is saying to me for you today is that you need to be on your guard. You need to be prayed up, and you need to be worded up like never before, because the enemy is working hard, and he wants to drag and suck everything from you. Okay, and that can only happen, church, if you give it license, if you give it permission. Right? If you don't, and if you use the authority that God has given you, then nothing can happen. Nothing can happen at all. Now, I'm going to show you a scripture. We're going to go there now, I think. I was wondering which way to go. I'm going to bring you to a couple of scriptures. Okay? And the first thing, before I even take you there, what I'm going to say to you is this. Okay? Sin can prevent, okay, our breakthroughs from happening. Sin can prevent our breakthroughs from happening. And the breakthroughs can come in the area of healing. It can come in the area of financial freedom. It can come in the area of even relationships. And you name it, it can happen. Sin can cause that. Sin separates, okay, us from the will of God and from God Himself. God hates sin so much, He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Okay? So I'm going to bring you, I'm going to show you, there's a lot of examples, but I'm going to bring you to two examples. If you have your Bibles, go to, first of all, to Mark chapter 2. Then I'm going somewhere, okay, with this today. And I want to pray for people today that want or need prayer. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you, then, you know, maybe what I'm going to say today is not for everybody, but I know it's for somebody. And so, so let's go to Mark chapter 2. Yeah, I said Mark chapter 2 and I'm at Mark chapter 5. All right, Mark chapter 2, and I'm going to read from, I think it's verse 1, if I can turn the page. All right, Mark chapter 2, from verse 1. And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. And immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. We all know this story, but I'm going to read it anyway. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which a paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." So Jesus saw the faith of the four men, and he saw the faith of the paralytic as well. But this is what Jesus said. When he saw him, he didn't ask him what was wrong with him. He just said this, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Do you hear that, church? Immediately he saw him, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." All right, let's read on. And some of the scribes are sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves. He said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out of the presence of them all, so that they were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." And what I wanted to note from that story is two things. Number one, Jesus said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you." Now, there were those who doubted that and said, "Hang on, how could he do this? Who can forgive sins except God alone?" Okay, and Jesus perceived what was going on there. And he says, "So that you will know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins, I say to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed and walk." And that's the second thing I want you to know. Before he could arise, take up his bed and walk, his sins had to be forgiven. Are you hearing me, church? He had to be delivered. He had to be forgiven first. The sin had to be removed. And then Jesus said, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." Let's go to... So that's number one. Let's go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John chapter 5. If we go to John chapter 5, we'll see another little example there. And I'm going to start from verse 5. I think I'll start from verse 5. "Now a certain man was there," that's by the pool of Bethsaida, "and who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time." So Jesus knew that he was there for a very long time, okay, with that condition. He said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Now, I'm going to stop right there, and somebody might be saying, "Well, where did Jesus say your sins are forgiven you?" And we'll go down, because a little later on you'll see that the man rose up, he took his bed and he walked. But later on Jesus met him. Let's read on and see where he met him. oops, John chapter 5. So, verse 14. Well, verse 13, let me start from there, because that's interesting. "But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place." So he got healed, but he didn't even realize it was Jesus who healed him. He wasn't sure who it was. But look at verse 14. "Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple." Wow, that's a good, isn't it? He got his healing, and where did he go? To the temple. That's a good thing. He found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well." And then he said this, "Sin no more, lest the worse thing come upon you." And that tells me right there that the cause of his sickness was sin. Okay? And Jesus commanded him, told him, "Go and don't sin anymore." Okay? If you don't sin anymore, this sickness won't come upon you. If you don't sin anymore, something worse than what has happened to you will not come upon you. And I can give you more examples from the Word of God. Quite frankly, I was looking for another example that I knew about, and I came across these two while I was searching for the reference, scripture references for it. But I thought I'd just stop there and just point that out. Now, keep that in your mind. Now, what I'm not saying is that every sickness is caused by someone sinning themselves. I'm not saying that. Okay? Because you and I will know that's not the case. Amen? All right? But some sicknesses do cause that. And we have to stop and we have to examine ourselves. Now, what's been in my spirit from last week, I mentioned to you about the five prayers that every Christian should be praying. How many people remember that? Yeah? How many people remember the first one, the first part? Slay me. Come on, everybody say, slay me. And that's important. That's very important. And what I've heard the Holy Spirit is saying is that you tell my people and explain to them, okay, these five steps. Because I mentioned it a few times, but I've not really gone into detail with that five-step prayer. And step number one is slay me. Okay? What does that mean? It means we've got to kill the flesh. Okay? That's what it means. We've got to kill the flesh. Now pay particular attention here, because many people can get confused, and I want to sort of not make it more confusing, but bring clarity. When the Bible talks about flesh, it is not talking about your body. You can't kill your body. Or if the Bible says we should, which it does, and I'm going to show you that in a minute, crucify your flesh. And if we take that literally, then none of us have done that, which means that we're remaining in sin. It's not talking about your body. Are you with me? Let me explain. The Greek word for flesh is sarx, and that means carnal. And so what it's saying is that kill the carnal appetites. When we say we crucify the flesh, and by the way, the Bible tells us that we have all, if we are Christ. The Bible says, and for those who are Christ, Galatians 5:16, I think it is. For those who are Christ, Galatians 5:24, have crucified the flesh and its desires and also its appetites. Okay? That's what that verse tells us. That if we belong to Christ, we have to crucify the carnal nature. Because the carnal nature doesn't please God. Are you with me so far? We cannot serve God carnally through just the fleshly mindset alone. We can't do that. We weren't designed to do that. God never designed for that to happen. And so, well, we have to then recognize when these things are happening, and we have to recognize that, first of all, we have crucified the flesh, because if you're living unto Christ, then you are living unto Him. But every so often, you and I will notice the old nature wants to pop up its ugly head. The old man wants to resurrect himself. And what happens is the flesh that you've crucified wants to come off that cross and wants to sit on the throne of your life and rule. And we can't allow that to happen. God doesn't want that to happen. That should not happen at all in terms of us living for Christ and living the way that He wants us to live. So if you look, I'm not going to go there because of time, but if you look in, I'll give you examples. The Bible gives you examples of the flesh in that same chapter, Galatians chapter 5. If you look from verse 17 to verse 21, or to 20, it stops at 20, I think. If you look, you see 17 works of the flesh mentioned. Okay? So if you know, well, how can I know whether or not I'm walking in the Spirit? Because Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So how can I not fulfill the lust of the flesh? By walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? To walk in the Word and to walk in prayer. Okay? To walk in prayer, what are you doing? You are communicating with God. You are being intimate with God. Your connection line with God is open. You're walking in the Spirit. But you've also got to not just pray, but you've got to know God's Word and you've got to obey God's Word. And when we don't do that now, we come off of the path of obedience. We come out into disobedience. We step right into curses. Curses are everywhere. But as long as you are a child of God, walking in the Spirit and walking according to the Word, you are protected. Do you hear me, church? Can you say out loud, I am protected in Jesus' name because I am an obedient believer. And it's important that what you just said out of your mouth, that you follow that through with your daily living. Because if you don't, then you're going to step into trouble. Okay, and all sorts of different things happen. Now, the Bible mentions 17 in those verses in Galatians 5, 17 different fruits of the flesh. So if you want to see an example of that, just go there. And I'll give you a few examples. Number one is jealousy. Jealousy is mentioned there. But there's a second word also that's mentioned there. So what is jealousy? Jealousy is sin, because it's mentioned here. It's a work of the flesh. Okay? So I cannot afford to be jealous of anybody at all. Okay? And with that, jealousy says, you have it and I don't. That's jealousy. You have it and I don't. Joy's got that pretty boot on, and I don't. Well, I wouldn't want the boot anyway, but you know what I'm saying. You have it, and I don't. That's jealousy. Now, if jealousy ain't dealt with, and you've heard me teach this before, it deteriorates down to a level called envy. And envy is also mentioned in that same passage. Okay? What is envy? Envy is saying, you have it, I don't, and I want what you have. Are you with me? Okay? If you don't deal with that, there is a third level. What is that word? How many people know that the third level? Jealousy, envy, and? That's it, Yvonne. Yvonne got it. Emulation. Everybody say emulation.
Emulation.
What is emulation? All right. Emulation is this. Emulation says, you have it, I don't, I want what you have, and I am willing to pay the price, whatever that may be, to have what you have. I will declare war on you for those boots. I will even kill you for those boots. I will do you harm and I will do you damage because you have those boots. Are you with me? Okay? So, the important thing is not seeing it and hiding it or pretending it's not there. It's dealing with it. Because if you don't, it goes right down to... And you can put this on any level. I've just picked one. Okay, you can take that on any level. It deteriorates and gets worse. When we see sin in our lives, we need to deal with it. When we see that we're doing wrong, or we've said wrong, or our attitude is wrong, you know, you come into a meeting and then you are puffed up or you're silent. You can't even say good morning. You know something's wrong. Deal with it. You know that is with you. Deal with it. Deal with it. Don't let it stay there and fester, because it will get worse. Okay. The Bible also says in Galatians chapter 5, the same chapter, after it names the 17 works of the flesh, and there's more, let me give you a couple more. I've mentioned jealousy, I've mentioned envy. Here's another one, selfish ambition. That's a work of the flesh. Selfish ambition. I talk about what I want to do, where I want to go, what I want to be, what I'm going to establish, more than I'm talking about the kingdom of God. It's a selfish ambition. God has never ever designed us to be ambitious to the point where the kingdom is put one side. Now, let me get this clear. Ambition is not a bad thing. Are you with me? It's not a bad thing. When it becomes error, when it becomes sin, is when that ambition supersedes the kingdom business. Because as Christians, as believers, if we've been and we have been changed by the Spirit of God, our objective, our aims is to please God. It's to please God. I say it again. Our aims and our objectives is to please God. And that's what faith is about. It's about pleasing God. That's why faith was given to us. To please God. To please God. So our number one objective is the kingdom. The things of God. Anything that comes between you and that objective is sin. So you get up in the morning, the first thing you're thinking about is kingdom. You're not thinking about the kids, you're not thinking about work, you're not thinking about the day. You get up and you glorify God. You say, Father, thank you for this day that you've made and given to me. Lord, I may not know what it entails, Lord God, but whatever it is, you are with me. So I've got the peace of God, and you can stand up and you can operate in confidence because you know that God is with you. So when all hell broke loose at your workplace, guess what? You are safe in Jesus Christ. Because you've submitted that day to Him, you've given it to Him, and you know that He's with you in everything. But you see, folks, when the flesh is not slain, which is the first step. That the flesh is going to want to rule. It's going to want to have its own way. So you're told to lift up your hands and worship God. You can't even do that. I don't see why I have to do that. I'm just giving an example, you know. I don't see why I have to do that. I don't have to. You're told to stand, you remain seated. You know, just little examples, because the flesh, if you like, the carnal mindset, it always wants to come off of that cross. It always wants to. And we've got to nail it and make sure it stays there. Nail it there. When something is nailed to the cross, like Jesus was nailed to the cross, guess what? He couldn't move. He could not move. I mean, he could have, but you know where I'm getting at. He could not. He had to stay on that cross. Okay? And he died on that cross. And it's the same thing with the flesh, the carnal mindset, when it wants to resurrect itself. And this is why it's important to make sure you know what you're looking and where you're looking at, because these things will have an influence one way or the other. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but maybe there is some walls that's come up that needs breaking down, and maybe those walls are built up. Welcome. The walls are built up because of, you know, stuff that we've been doing or stuff that we've been thinking. Wrong thinking creates walls to be built up. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is able to break those walls down in Jesus' name. And God wants to pour His Spirit out afresh. But He cannot do anything until we're slain. The flesh needs to be slain. Are you here, church? It needs to be slain. We need to kill it. Don't ignore it, because it will remain there. And then it will rise up its ugly head. And then you'll be wondering, well, how come this happened? How come that happened? And the reason is right there before you. I was looking this morning, and that's what I'm looking at now, of a scripture that I came across this morning. And I said, I'm gonna share this. And this is the only notes. You've noticed this is the only notes that I have here today, because I wanted to really read this, because I think it was very, very pertinent. In Galatians chapter 5, another thing that's mentioned, apart from envy, self-seeking, okay? And the Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing exists. I say it again. Well, let me read it, because I've got it here. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And that's James 3:16. So if I allow this work of the flesh, self-seeking or envy, if I don't deal with it, I allow it to be. Guess what? It's like an open door. And it opens the door for other things to come in, because the Bible says confusion. What is confusion? Confusion is conflicting information. Information going across in your mind in all sorts of different directions. And they're conflicting and confusing, because it's good and bad, it's right and wrong, all going across. And it brings confusion, there's no clarity. And that's what the enemy wants to do. And the enemy will send you signals or send you thoughts and say things to you. And that's why the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 that we've got to pull down those things that exalt itself against the Word of God. We've got to pull it down. You have authority. We know that. The Bible tells us that. Luke 10 and 19. We've got authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. But what's the point of having that power and not using it? What's the point of having that right, that license, that permission, but you're not using that right, that license, that permission? We've got to use it. And God wants us to use it, because He wants us to have victory. Didn't we sing about that this morning? We sang about that this morning, about victory. We sang about it. We told God, yes, we got the victory. But folks, you've got to appropriate that victory in your life, in Jesus' name. All right, let me ask you a question. You may answer out loud. Do you believe that God is a good God? Do you believe that God has a good plan for your life? Do you believe that God is going to lead you into a future that is a good one? Do you believe that God is your provider? All right, so why aren't all these things always happening? Why? Because there is an enemy out there that doesn't want you to have the goodness of God. There is an enemy out there that wants to throw you off track so that you are not going in the direction of God. There is an enemy out there that doesn't want you to know what you have. Because if he knows that if you know what you know that you have over him, then you can defeat him. And he doesn't want you to know that. That's why he keeps Christians sometimes in ignorance, darkness. Oh, you don't need to read the word this morning. Oh, you don't need to go to that Bible study. Oh, you don't need to pray. Oh, it doesn't matter if you skip this morning or this evening reading the Bible. Or that prayer time that you, and that Bible study time that you set up at home. It doesn't matter. And he will come with all sorts of different things. And if he doesn't do that, he sends other things to make things happen, to bring you distraction. Church, are you with me today? And so we've got to be aware of that and say, no more in Jesus' name. No, in Jesus' name. No, I'm going to use what I have for the glory of God. And I'm going to bring everything that I have to God in spirit and in truth. Because God sees and knows everything. But the flesh has to be slain. And that's the first thing. That's the first point. No, nothing else will happen until the flesh is slain. The flesh is crucified. Placed back on that cross where it belongs. Because if it's not there, it's going to interfere. It will just get in your business and mess you up and try to overtake and take control of your life. And we weren't designed that way. God has not designed us that way. So we've got to be slain. The flesh has to be slain. But that's not enough. That's the first, very most important thing. And when the flesh is slain, the second prayer, remember now, prayer is a communication line to God, is now that the flesh is slain, now Lord, cleanse me. Come on, everybody say, cleanse me. Cleanse. Say it again, cleanse me. Cleanse. And that's our prayer. Lord, cleanse me. Now that the flesh has been crucified, now that I've dealt with this issue that's there, that's been causing this problem, and I've slain it, I've decided that it will no longer rule and reign in my life. Now, Lord, I need you to cleanse me. Cleanse me by your precious blood. Cleanse me. Isaiah said, and I shall be whiter than snow. The songwriter said, what can wash away my sins? And the answer is, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so the blood of Jesus, there's authority and power in that. And see, when you be as a believer, come to him. Because listen, God knows that you were going to, even though you're a believer, God knows that you were going to sin, you were going to miss the mark, you were going to make error. God knew that you were going to do that before you did it. And so he made provision for that. 1 John 1 verse 9 is that provision. That verse was written for Christians. It wasn't written for unsaved people. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to, here you go, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we come to God by faith and say, Father, this is what your word says. And Lord, I believe your word. Lord, I repent from where I am. I repent for that bad attitude. I'm repenting for that bad habit. Lord, I repent for those words that came out of my mouth. Lord, I repent from going to that place. I repent, Father, from having fellowship maybe with the wrong kind of people that I'm having fellowship with. Lord, I repent from all of this. And by the way, the word repent, you know it. I think I said it recently. What does that mean? And you may talk. What does it mean? Repent. Thank you, Claude. It means to go back to the top. Re, back, and pent, top. To go back to the top. So that's where we are, seated with Christ, ruling with him. But when we sin, we fall. But when we repent, we go back to where we were. And that's where God wants us. Amen? Amen. And so we've got to make sure that we're doing that. We're saying, now, Lord, cleanse me in the name of Jesus. Take away everything, Lord God, that is there that displeases. Then the third prayer we should be praying after cleanse me. Now that you've cleansed me, Lord, Father, I want you to fill me. Empty vessels can't do anything for you, Lord. So fill me with your power. Fill me with your love. I'm talking about the agape kind of love. Fill me, Lord God, with your anointing. Fill me, Father, with your purpose, Lord. I'm here on this earth and I want to please you. I want to serve you, Lord God. But I can't do that, Lord, unless you fill me. Father, I've crucified my flesh. Lord, you have washed me and made me clean. I've confessed my sins before you, Lord. Now I'm asking you to fill me, Lord Jesus. Fill me to the overflow. The songwriter said, fill my cup, Lord, and fill it up, Lord. What does the next line say? Come and cleanse this thirsting of my soul. And that, oh my gosh, that ought to be our desire, that Father would come and fill us and cleanse us. from all unrighteousness. Come and fill us, Lord God. Fill us, Lord, with your love. Fill us, Lord, with your purposes, Lord God. And fill us, and in the process, Lord, renew our mind. And this comes in that category as well. The renewing of the mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Our mind needs to be renewed so that we can be conformed to his will and not the world. So that we can accomplish and do what God wants us to do and not just what I want to do. Anybody with me today? Am I making sense? I just felt by the Holy Spirit I need to elaborate on this. And there's some walls here today that need breaking down. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I know that because that's in my prayer time, that's what I saw, some walls. And the problem is, I saw different things. I even brought two bottles of water because, let me use it now. I was going to sort of, and I said, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't want to spend a lot of time talking because I want to pray. But I bought two bottles of water. You have to use your imagination now. Because I just said to you, fill me, Lord, fill me. This bottle can't be filled by this one. Let me use this one, okay? All right. This is the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we want the Holy Spirit to fill us. This is us. All right? This can't be filled, okay, until two things happen. What two things need to happen if I'm going to fill this bottle with anything? Number one, take the lid off. And number two? Exactly. And that's what we've just been saying. So the lid can be represent sin. It can represent blockage. Things that keep the stuff in so that the good stuff can't go in. You following me?
Yeah.
And if the good stuff can't go in, it's because you've got stuff on the inside and then the sin here, the blockage here, prevents the good from going in but also the bad from coming out. And this is where the cleansing part occurs. We need to be cleansed. We need to empty. Just visualize this bottle now being emptied. The blockage removed. Because when we confess our sins, he's faithful to just and forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blockage removed. And now we can empty ourselves of ourselves, which is what God wants. Then the Holy Spirit comes along and Claude's giving me an empty bottle. Thanks, Claude. And so now that I'm empty, this empty bottle is of no use to anybody at all. All right? I just said that a while ago. You're of no use to anybody empty. So we've got to not fill ourselves, not get into good works. Good works is good, but not good enough. It's not what God, it's not the process that the Lord wants us to go through. Now we've got to be still before him. And what we've got to do is, the sin is removed. So Claude forgot to take the lid off. So the lid's removed, the sin's removed. Now the Holy Spirit can come and fill us. And now that we're filled, let's switch it round. This is us now filled. Now that I'm filled, guess what? This represents you. But you are of no use to nobody just like, oh, look at me, I'm full. Oh, look at me, I'm filled, I'm filled. Hallelujah, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. It's of no use to anybody. All right? So what you got to do now is you got to change that mindset. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. You got to be, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now your mind has to be changed. That mindset needs to go. I hope you're following me. And then now, guess what? This will have use, okay, to others. That's some warm, actually. But that's okay. It would quench my thirst. And the other point with this, folks, is when you give out and you give out and you give out, you know what happens? Your levels get low. Let me ask you a question. How do you get the levels back up? Thank you. Because the temptation sometimes is to say, well, you got to do this, you got to do that. All you got to do is come before the Holy Spirit and say, hey, here's my cup, Lord. Fill me up. Father, thank you for a fresh anointing. A fresh revelation. A brand new day you have given me, Father. I thank you for that. You have provided for me everything that I need for this day. And so the Holy Spirit just fills you up. And you're ready for the next day. The next activity. The next journey. The next task. You're ready for it. Now suddenly you don't have any Monday morning blues. You're able to go because what? You're taking, and this is the other thing. You're taking the Lord with you. The Holy Spirit pours in. All right? So that wherever you go, you carry his presence. You carry him. And he will lead you, he will teach you, he will instruct you. When you come up against situations, even at your workplace, he will give you the wisdom and the know-how, how to get around certain things. And so we've got to lean on the Lord and trust in him, and we've got to be still before him. If you're going to be filled by the Holy Spirit, you can't be running up all over the place. If this boat is moving all over the place, and he's saying, fill me, fill me, fill me. And the Holy Spirit is here ready to fill. And this body is so busy that guess what? It can't. It's going to hit and miss. Ain't it? And it's going to make a big mess all over the place. So the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Let God pour into you, man. Listen, church. No matter how big your mess is, nothing is too big for God. I want to tell you that right now. No matter how big your situation, and maybe there's some of you going through some private things that nobody knows about, God does. He loves and he cares. And with him, there's nothing impossible. So we've got to be still, let the Holy Spirit fill us. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is filling us with his knowledge, with his word, with wisdom as well. The wisdom of God. So that when you go about, you have the wisdom of God. And you know how to do whatever it is that God wants you to do. So we got to slay me, cleanse me, fill me. And number three is guide me. Number four, guide me. Guide me, Lord. Now that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, Father, now that I'm filled, guide me, Lord. You said in your word, Matthew 6 and verse 33, that we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added to you. You said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, in all of your ways, acknowledge me, Lord, and I will direct your paths. That's what you said, Lord. You will direct my... So, Lord, guide me. I don't want to get up now, Lord God, with my full self and do my own thing. Oh, look at me. I'm anointed by God. Lord, I want to do it your way, in your time. I want you to guide me, Father. Show me. Show me your way, Lord. Because I know you care for me. This day was mapped out before I saw it, Lord. So how do you want it to go? Because that's the way I want to go. Are you with me? Guide me, Lord. Guide me. Don't depend upon your intellect and upon your strength. Was it last night? Yeah, I was watching a program last night. I was alone for that moment. Joshua and Joy was with me, but they came out of the room and I was watching this program. And this program was just happened to be talking about Jesus Christ. And it was almost like a debate. And one by one, these professional people came on, and every one of them just agreed with one another, if you like, that number one, Jesus Christ wasn't real. Number two, Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. Number three, one of them said, John the Baptist is the founder of the church. And every one of them, almost all of them, placed it under the banner of religion and said, oh, that's just religious people wanting to believe the better and wanting to believe the good because of the world that we're living in and what's going on. But they were in denial of Jesus Christ, who he is and his ability and what he has done and the works that he did. One of them said that all of that is fiction. It's just a story. It didn't really happen. That didn't surprise me, but to be honest with you, I switched the station. I can only take so much. Because you know what I find myself doing? And I have to kind of... I find myself arguing back. And then it starts off all right, you know, John. But then... talk about deep, I almost drone sometimes. But, you know, you gotta sort of... You know, I mean, it's like anything else. I don't like when people blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. I don't like it. And I find myself sometimes shouting back at the TV. I said, Do you know him? Kind of thing. I say, whoa, David, hold on. Calm down, man. You know, but do they know him? No, they don't. And you know, I've done that before. I've heard people do that, talking to people, and then they call the name of the Lord. And I've challenged him on that, right there, physically. I've challenged him on that. I said, do you know him? Don't use his name like that, man. You don't know him, don't call him. And they were kind of taken aback. But I said, don't use the name of my Lord anyhow in your mouth. And you don't know who you're talking about. Don't do that. So we've got to say, Lord, guide me. Guide me. I want you to instruct me, Lord. The Bible is filled with scriptures on that. And then, Lord, the final step is what? Use me. Use me. Use me. And that's where God wants to get to with his people. God wants to use you, every single one of you. And he is. He's using you. Beautiful service this morning. Thank you, John, for leading so well. Thank you, Claude. I think you prepared the songs. And you know, don't you, church? You know when it's right. Everything I'm talking about, you know when we're on tune. You know when the atmosphere is clear. Pastor Trevor led us this morning in a beautiful pre-prayer meeting. I was just about to go, because we don't plan anything. We don't even talk. But he goes up. If I don't go up, and sometimes he just goes up, and if he goes up, I don't go up. And I love that. You know, we've never got together and say, look, if I'm not going up, you go up, or do you want to do it this week or that week? You know, one or twice, not twice, we might say, because sometimes, you know, in our prayer time, we can pray a certain way, and then the Holy Spirit may speak and say, this is what I want you to do in the pre-prayer. You know, so it's important to be sensitive along that line, but so far it's been working perfectly. And this morning, beautiful prayer, beautiful songs, beautiful leading by John. Can we put our hands together for our brothers and our sister? So we appreciate you. Appreciate you very much. And of course, we appreciate the musicians as well. I know what it's like, you know. I know what it's like to be in music. And sometimes it may look simple, it's not. And everything has to be in tune, because there are frequencies in the spirit. Okay? And if one thing is out, and you and I will know when it's out, then it kind of has an effect on everything. It's not to say that mistakes cannot be made, and if a mistake is made, the anointing is gone. No. No, no, no. In my music ministry, because I just don't used to play here, but I had a ministry that started in Jamaica, and sometimes we make mistakes. Pastor Trevor will tell you, Joy will tell you. You know, we make mistakes in singing, we make mistakes in our playing, but that doesn't really stop the anointing of God. Why? Because it's coming from here. It's our heart in our church. And this is the last thing I think I'm going to say this morning, that I'm going to pray now. It's the last thing. Here, we've got to check here. Because everything comes from here. The Bible says it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, it's what comes out of his mouth. And what comes out of your mouth, guess what? It's coming from your heart. So we have to ask ourselves, hang on a minute, is my heart right? Have I got a stony heart? Have I got a wayside heart? Have I got a thorny heart? Is my heart right before God? What deposits have I got down there? What have I been saying? You want to know what's in your heart? Listen to what you're saying. Because that's how you write things on your heart. And so we're going to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. But right now, in Jesus' name, we're going to pray, and we're going to break down some walls this morning. And I don't know, sometimes the walls can prevent worship from coming up and coming out. You know, and stuff can keep you weighed down, keep you tired, and make you feel lethargic so that you don't even want to lift your hands. But in the name of Jesus Christ, that is no more in the name of the Lord. And this is the last thing. This is one more thing. One more last thing I'm going to say. Because the Holy Spirit just reminded me. That's whoever you need to forgive, forgive. Because it came to me strongly in the week. It just came back to me. Whoever you need to forgive, forgive. Don't hold on to it. And please don't tell yourself, well, it's easier than it's not so easy. The more you say it's not easy, is the more it's not going to be easy. What did Paul say? Paul said, I can do all things through. So why are you going to do it alone? You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit in you. You've got the Word of God in you. Allow that power to work in your life. In Jesus' name. And I know it's a... Listen, if you want to talk about hurt, then you can look at Pastor David. I'm telling you that I've been hurt time and time and time and time again by people over the years. But then I've been on the planet quite some time. So have you, and you know this. You know, all of us have been hurt. But what we can't afford to do is to hold on to that hurt. Hold on to that pain. You're going to say, remind yourself of who you are. No, I'm a son of the living God. And yes, Father, it's hard, it's difficult, because I feel it, and I feel it personally. But Lord, I trust your word. I trust you. And I believe, Lord God, that a release can come, and that forgiveness will flow, Father, into my life because of what you have done by sending your son, Jesus Christ, to do the work on the cross. And so the blood of Jesus Christ I prayed over my life in the mighty name of Jesus. And then you let go of that pain, of that hurt by faith. Release it, man. Let it go. Don't walk about puffed up and vexed up. Don't do that. You create an atmosphere and you carry that atmosphere with you. And it does you no good. Something else that will happen when you don't release sin is that bitterness. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, be careful lest the roots of bitterness go down and they spring up and cause trouble. Trouble. Roots of bitterness, if not dealt with, cause trouble. So you've got to, Paul said, let a man examine himself to see whether or not he's in the faith, whether or not he's walking according to the word of God. We can all show up with our fancy clothes if you like. Maybe deal with me, with my shirt and tie. But this doesn't mask whatever wrong may be in my heart, because God sees it. He looks straight past everything and looks right into our heart. So be aware that God knows everything. But God is also standing with his hands open, ready to do a work, a fresh work in our lives. Bow your head and close your eyes. Everybody, right where you are. And I don't know if I'm speaking to anybody here yet, but I just want to put it right out there right now. That whatever was, whatever, maybe if you see yourself struggling in a particular area, and why can't I find it easy to worship God? Why can't I, or maybe you're holding on to unforgiveness, and that's causing harm, or maybe there's some hurt, and you know, there's some physical sickness in your life, but God wants you to deal with the stuff first, just like he did with these men. He forgave them, and then they were healed. And even so, God wants to bring freshness into your life today, folks. Whether it be healing, whether it be a financial flow, healing in relationships. That seemed to be going haywire. Seemed to be not, you're okay today, then you're not okay. You're okay, then you're not okay. And God doesn't want that instability in your life. He wants you whole, well, and sound in every area of your life. And if I'm talking to you today and you see that where you need God in your heart, in your life, just raise your hand. Because I'd really like to pray for you before I leave this place this morning. Just raise your hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I've got this wall, or I've got this issue that I'm struggling with or that I need dealt with. And I'll pray for you right now. Just raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. See, as the Holy Spirit speaks and you raise your hand, what you're doing is you're responding to him. That's what you're doing. Can all four of you stand on your feet, please? Those of you who raised your hand. If you didn't raise your hand and you know I'm talking to you, you've got some circumstance, some stuff in your life that you know need changing, raise your hand right now. Or just stand on your feet right now. Can I ask the four of you to come forward? I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Come on now, church. The Holy Spirit may be speaking to you. And he's speaking to you. Don't sit down in your seat. That's the last thing you want to do. It's the last thing you want to do. I always have respect for people that come to the altar like this. I have respect for them because they're open and they're honest enough to say, you know what, I'm struggling here. You know what, I need help here. You know what, I recognize that I've been doing things wrong here. You know what, I really realize I cannot do it by myself here in this. You know what, I realize that I'm stubborn and I want my own way. And if it's not my way, then it's a highway. And that's a bad thing to happen and to have in your life. Last chance, folks. Come forward if you need prayer.
I'm going to pray for you now, okay? For all of you. Can we stand on our feet? You're going to join me with me, please. As a matter of fact, can I, yeah, Pastor Stuart, can you read the word out? Sorry? Oh, no, I want you to come and have a prayer, please. Cool, can you come and have a prayer as well, please? These are our sisters that have come forward, okay? You know, when Jesus ministered, you know what he did? He ministered out of what?
Compassion.
Compassion and empathy. Mm. That's what he did. Richard, can you tickle on the keyboard for me, please? Pastor Trevor, you can come forward and pray as well. Pastor Jacob. You know, what I want you to do, folks, is simply this, okay? You don't know what the situation is, but whatever the situation, let me talk to you. Whatever the situation is, I'm telling you that right now. This is what the Holy Spirit said to me, that is coming down now in Jesus' name. Whatever the situation is, whatever the problem is, it's God's going to break whatever the barrier is to prevent you from being used for God, to prevent change from God. Because there's nothing that is too hard for the Lord. And so it's going to be broken in Jesus' name. So we're going to pray that it be broken of your lives, and that includes you as well, folks. If you can just pray for your sisters, okay, that it be broken, whatever it may be, it's broken in the name of the Lord. And they will not leave here the same in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, good. All right, so just pray, just pray, just pray. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, and I'm